You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
From the rolling bluffs of the Driftless region to the pristine shorelines of Superior in Michigan, from the Northwoods to the Kettle Moraine, Civic Media broadcasts across all of Wisconsin. For all of Wisconsin. Take a trip with us across the radio network to hear from communities throughout the state. This is the Civic Media Spotlight.
Hello and welcome to the second hour of the Spooky Edition of the Civic Media Spotlight. We kick off the first segment with the John and Gordy Show. Sharon Bowie, leader of the Board of Directors for the Federal Defender Service for both the Eastern and Western Districts, the Dane County Community Justice Council's Pretrial Services Subcommittee, the Community Police Advisory Board, the Madison Justice Team, and the Madison and Milwaukee Reentry Councils. Yes, he really does it all. He talked about Moses Organization. He talked about the Moses Organization, honoring him this coming November.
WNBX 92.7. It's John and Gordy in the morning. Check us out on the Civic Media app if you can, WMDX, and then text us, voice note us, or just give us a call and get in on the program.
Weather for today looks just fine. Clear skies this morning. We'll see a lot of sunshine. Highs around 59 degrees. Right now it's 38 here. And time for us to welcome in our guest, Sharon Bowie. Sharon, good morning. Good to have you with us this morning.
It's great to be here. Thank you.
Tell us about the organization that you're with and about this event coming up. Give us a little bit of background on this.
Okay. Well, the event is a gala that will be on November 22nd at the Goodman Center. It's by Moses, which is a satellite organization of the Wisdom Organization. And what we do, or what they do, is they work for systemic change in the criminal justice system to try and make it more equitable for individuals who are incarcerated and who are released from incarceration.
Yeah, not Moses stands for Madison Organizing in Strength, Equity, and Solidarity.
That's correct.
It's an acronym.
Yes, it is.
All right.
And how did you become involved with this organization?
Well, I'm a member of a couple of different criminal legal organizations that seek, as I said, systemic change. And Moses is a part of some of those organizations. For some reason, they decided to honor me with the Transformation Award at their upcoming gala.
And
do you think you deserve it?
you must have an idea why they're honoring you. Can you tell us a little bit about your personal story?
You're out there promoting this, so that's fantastic, right?
Well, I'm deeply honored to be considered for this award. I believe it's an indication of when commitment meets transformation. And as a result, you become a little bit bigger than yourself. Whether or not I deserve it, that's up for the individuals who are bestowing that.
Now you're at the Office for Justice Reform.
Yes, now, in Dane County.
Now that works together with Moses on this as well, right?
Well, actually not. We recently had a sequential intercept model training at the Alliant Energy Center, and Moses was one of the invitees
there. Okay. All right. Now is there reform taking place? Are they actually making reform happen, or just at least getting their two cents in?
Well, Moses is absolutely going to get their two cents in. They attend numerous county functions and I believe city functions to make their opinions known on some of the criminal legal issues that are happening in the state and in the city. I can tell you the Office of Justice Reform is a relatively new office in Dane County, and we're doing as much work as we can to reform the criminal legal system here to make it, again, more equitable for everyone.
Is there a bail type of situation that you're trying to reform, or has that been reformed?
Well, as I said, the Office of Justice Reform is new, and we're under tremendous leadership from our director, and she has us looking at various options and, you know, we're looking at best practices throughout the United States to try and figure out what we can import here to Dane County to make this a better place.
Talking with Sharon Bowie here now. Now, I understand you're not the only person that's going to be recognized at this fundraiser on November 22nd at the Goodman Center. There are three justice-impacted individuals who have worked through stigma and disparity to transform their lives. Can you tell us a little bit about your personal story or how things have changed for you?
Sure. you know, the one thing I believe is that true gold fears no fire. So I don't necessarily lead with my personal story, but if anyone wants to know, I don't try and hide or run from it either. I am legally system impacted. I was released from incarceration 5 years ago, about 5.5 years ago. Since that time, I've tried to atone for some of the actions that caused me to be incarcerated, that gave rise to that incarceration. Mm-hmm. It's not something that I'm proud of, but it's something that I use to try and be an example to those individuals in the community to know that you don't have to be defined by the worst event in your life.
Mm-hmm. And you work with the Madison Justice Team, is that right?
Yes, I do.
And so do you work with individuals that are going through some of the same kind of things that you went through after being incarcerated?
Well, the Madison Justice Team is more like a satellite organization that consists of numerous organizations who are working together toward the goal of reforming the justice system.
Changing the system.
Yeah. And working for Dane County, you know, my job is as a data and evaluation analyst or coordinator. And what I do is I get the actual quantitative data and I marry it with the qualitative data to try and find some solutions and to see if we can possibly just make a little bit of incremental change to make it better for everyone. Mm-hmm. Now, as for personal interactions with individuals who are legally system impacted, I'm the former associate director for Just Dane, who will be recognized on November 22nd. And in that position, I did have the opportunity of working directly with legally system impacted folks to try and change the trajectory of their lives.
Right. Mm-hmm. Now, Just Dane, they supply jobs?
No, Just Dane does not supply jobs, but they're
conduit. But they direct people?
Yes, they're
okay.
Conduit.
That's what I thought, yes. Yes, because we've dealt with that organization before here on the show.
Yeah, they were formerly Madison Area Urban Ministry.
Yes.
And they have some outstanding individuals who work there.
Mm-hmm.
It was very bittersweet, and it was very unnerving for me to leave that position to take this position. But mm-hmm. I felt that I can be more strategic in trying to change the system rather than more tactical while working at Just Dane.
Now, I wonder how frustrating it is. I mean, you have mentioned like maybe 3 or 4 or 5 different groups all working for this same ending, reform. You know, we want to get reform going. What is the roadblock? What is the one thing that we really need to consider as the roadblock to any kind of reform that you and Moses and everybody else, all these other organizations are striving to accomplish?
Well, we have different perspectives as to what constitutes reform. For instance, one person's reform is another person's setback. Mm. So what we have to try and do, at least this is my opinion, being on the Federal Defender Services Board, for example, also the Madison Justice Team, Office of Justice Reform, is we need to try and get consensus among the groups as to what particular issue we're going to pursue. When you have numerous groups trying to incorporate divergent interests at the same time, it dilutes what it is you're trying to accomplish.
Right.
Whereas if we could get everybody on the same page for just one, not 5 or 6 or 7, just one change that we would work on, I think we would be much, much more effective.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, what would be that one change, or maybe a couple of issues that could be that one change? What do you
think? In your mind. Yeah.
Well, I think that the one change that we could get accomplished if we all put our minds together and our interests and our activities is to work on the parole issue. That, to me, is the biggest issue, because approximately 36% of individuals who go to prison go back for parole violations. Mm-hmm. So if we could somehow address that issue, and that mm-hmm. issue only, we would significantly reduce the number of individuals who are incarcerated. Now, there are a number of factors that go into this: personal responsibility, the way that you view society, all these things go into that. But I think that we could actually make some strides on working on just the parole issue.
So it's parole violations, essentially, you're trying to keep that down.
Yes.
Or eliminate that part of it, right?
Well, definitely to keep it down, yeah. But I don't think that we could actually eliminate it, because then, again, personal responsibility.
Yes,
if you're on parole and you engage.
And it's a tough life, and, you know, anything can happen, right?
Well, personal responsibility is what it's all about.
Well, that's where it starts.
Yeah.
It starts there, and I think that as a group, as individual groups, we need to make that our mantra. Mm-hmm. Let's first start with individual personal responsibility, and then we work from there. That's the foundation upon which we set any actions that we're going to try and engage in.
So keeping opportunities alive for those individuals that need this help, this reform.
Yes. Well, you want to have, there are opportunities. And that's one of the things that I want to try and stress, is that there is a misconception that there aren't opportunities. Let me give you a quick example. Your reentry or your reintegration in society doesn't begin when you leave the prison gates. It actually begins while you're in prison, to take advantage of the opportunities that are there. And there are significant opportunities for individuals who are incarcerated. And that makes the transition so much easier. However, there are a number of issues that sometimes get in the way of individuals taking advantage of those opportunities. One of them is by people telling them that they don't have opportunity, because it becomes easy to rationalize your behavior or to vitiate your situation because everyone's told you you can't do it.
Yeah.
You know, so why should I try?
Right. Fascinating. Okay. Well, Sharon, the celebration, the Transformation Celebration 2025, again, it's happening November 22nd at the Goodman Center here in Madison from 5 until 9 p.m. If people want to find out more, is there a way to do that? You have something online about this?
Absolutely. You can go to the Moses website. Okay. That's Moses.com, and you can punch it up and you can see the information there. And you might see this ugly guy with a little bio. Just ignore him. You know, don't go crazy.
What are you talking about? Come on, man.
Then we go from there.
Okay. Well, you know, good luck at the celebration. I'm sure you'll that'll be quite the night. And again, it's open to the public, right?
Yes, it is. November. You can purchase your tickets now. You can purchase them up until November 15th.
Okay.
We'd love to have you come down there just to meet some of the individuals who are change agents in our county and in our city. They're going to be there. Mm-hmm. And it's wonderful to connect on that interpersonal level, to just sit back, eat some good food, listen to some good stories, and maybe just have some good companionship.
Sharon, who's your guest?
My guest is going to be...
No, right here. Right
The person sitting next to me
is... Yeah, this young man over here.
This is Dante. He is my grandson who is now living with me, and he's been just perfect here.
He's been really great. Yes, he has.
Very, very well behaved.
I'm sure he's amazed by what radio is like, right?
How old is Dante?
Dante is 9 years old.
Excellent. Well, he's your helper today. That's great.
Yes, he is.
Sharon Bowie, thank you for coming in.
Thank you.
We appreciate it. And again, we'll have some information on our Facebook page, the Transformation Celebration with the Moses Organization, November 22nd, again, at the Goodman Center here in Madison from 5 till 9 p.m. We appreciate your time today. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
Right. Thank you.
Very good.
All right.
Okay.
Let's get to... let's get to one of these stories here. I think this is a little interesting. You know, it is the demand that Trump get $230 million in taxpayer money. And Democratic Congressman Jamie Raskin, thank you for stopping by, brings the hammer down on Donald Trump by announcing an investigation to get the entire paper trail for his jaw-dropping corruption demand for $230 million in taxpayer money from the Justice Department. Jamie Raskin's not going to let this guy walk away with all this money without anybody knowing it.
Yeah.
The details are likely to remain confidential, and that's the problem, allowing Trump to carry out this heist in partial secrecy anyway. In other words, Trump could get his hands on the money and the American people wouldn't find out until some future date, at which point it would be too late to stop him.
Something tells me it's already too late. No, I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Nobody's going to stop him.
We'll see.
Okay. All right. It is 7:49. We'll be back to wrap things up in just a moment on John and Gordy on WMDX.
The John and Gordy Show is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs on WMDX weekday mornings from 6 until 8. To learn more about this show and all of the Civic Media programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Up next on the Civic Media Spotlight, we have Valley Focus with Lisa Hale. Lisa is joined by Yava Engel, the Executive Director of the Oshkosh Area Humane Society, to discuss Halloween safety for your pets. Tune in for some tips for the holiday so every furry ghoul can participate.
I'm going Northeast Wisconsin Bureau Chief Lisa Hale for WISS News. This is Valley Focus, and today we're joined by Yava Engel of the Oshkosh Area Humane Society. Hello, Yava.
Hello, Lisa.
So, I mean, we're coming up fast on one of my favorite days of the year, of course, not just because it's fall, but also because there's candy involved, and that's Halloween. I love my candy, I will admit it. But I was thinking, since you're here from the Oshkosh Area Humane Society, animals, you know, sometimes you see a dog in a costume going out trick-or-treating with the family or whatever. But this is it's kind of a time to think about the safety of your pets for trick-or-treating, not just if you're taking them out, but also if you're not and you're handing out to trick-or-treaters. Tell me some of the things we need to think about.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it is a super fun time of the year. We just had our Halloween trick-or-treating party on Saturday over at the shelter, which was a big success. So we love Halloween too, but there are a few things, like you say, that animal owners need to keep in mind on this day. And one of them being is making sure that your animals are kept safe in the house, in an area where they can cannot accidentally escape the home. It can happen in a heartbeat. Both my kitties are door dashers and they have escaped multiple times, and we've had to find them and carry them back into the house. So keeping the kitties in a safe room where they cannot escape, that's really important. The same with the dogs, really. And something else to keep in mind is that a dog that normally may like children may get scared when they see children in a costume, especially if they're carrying props and swords and lightsabers and things like that. And of course, the masks, it may look very strange and weird to a dog. And so making sure that I would recommend putting the dogs away as well, kenneling them or having them in a different room so they don't get startled and do something that may be out of the character for them.
And I'm glad you mentioned that, because I can remember vividly one of my childhood pets. His name was Cece, and he was a cat. And I came out of a room just wearing a witch's hat. And he looked at me and was like, "Oh, I don't know who you are." Back arched, ran, and hid. And I'm like, "He's my cat." It was because I had this weird thing on my head that he had never seen me with. So that does, masks and costumes do affect an animal.
Oh, absolutely. Because they're used to seeing humans in a certain way. Some dogs get scared when they see things they've never seen before, like wheelchairs and canes and weird hats. And so Halloween is even so much more stressful for them. And it's not even just the dogs. I mean, I will tell that my parrot at home, when he saw me coming in my Halloween costume, which was a pirate, and yes, he was my prop at the shelter. He sat on my shoulder the whole time.
Good Cosmo.
But when he heard me walking on the floor in my boots, it was a sound he wasn't used to. So he was not happy to come out of his cage for me. And he was trying to bite me, actually. Just that's how much it can startle. Such small things that are completely out of their normal routine can really scare any animal.
And in addition to that, you've got people coming up to your door, either knocking on it, ringing the doorbell, trick or treat, whatever it is. And that can cause a dog to be a little reactive sometimes.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the doorbell alone, right? That's the barking and the running. And so I would say just be extra cautious and put the animals away, because everyone wants to have fun and the kids want to have fun and the people who hand out candy as well. So I think it's just safest to put them away.
Now, you mentioned candy, and I didn't want to let you get away today without us talking about that, because chocolate can be deadly for dogs, and candy in general is just not a good thing for them to have. So can you talk a little on that?
Oh, absolutely. Chocolate is not good for dogs, just like you said. I'm not sure how much actual cocoa is in some of the candy that is a part of trick-or-treating. But either way, sweets are not really good for the dogs. And so keeping those away from all animals is a really wise idea, and not feeding them to the dogs. And also watching your little ones, making sure that the kids aren't feeding the candy to the animals. Cats are less likely to eat the candy, but if you have cats and dogs, the cats may start playing with the candy and bat it off the tabletop or countertop. and the dogs may get to it. So it's the wrapper that is that may be potentially dangerous to the dog if they eat the whole thing, and just the candy itself. If it's not chocolate, it would still give them upset tummy, and you don't want any accidents in the house.
Exactly. I mean, when I think of what I call waxy candies, which are like the circus peanuts or the waxed little cola bottles or the wax lips and all that, that can cause an obstruction in a dog's intestines. Caffeine, the cocoa has caffeine. Caffeine is very, very bad for the dog's hearts. And just in general, getting sick. I mean, the last time I had a pup throw up in my house, it was a mess.
It is not fun. So definitely, I think just to be on the safe side, keep the candy stashed away and just keep an eye at it in general.
So basically, keep the your animals in a separate room where they're going to be safe, secured, and happy, you know, when the trick-or-treaters are coming in and out and towards your house. Keep the candy away from the animals and basically use common sense.
Absolutely. Also, make sure your animals are microchipped or at least have a tag. And if they are microchipped, make sure your address is updated should they get out of the house. Make sure they have tags with a phone number to be reached at. And just in general, maybe use some calming devices, maybe music in the room to just kind of calm the animals down.
I'm glad you mentioned microchips too and tags, because on Halloween night, if your animal should get out, I know that there are people that work with the Oshkosh Area Humane Society who will, you know, if a police officer says, hey, we've got a dog, can you take it? We'll take the animal to the shelter. And then you got to wait till the next day, though, to pick it up.
That's correct. Yes. You open at 8 in the morning.
Yeah, I just wanted to mention that in case it should happen to somebody.
Absolutely. And we're here for the animals in our community and for the folks in our community. So should that happen, of course, we're there for you. But we're hoping it doesn't happen and that the animals are safe and sound in your own homes.
Yava, thank you very much for joining me today on Valley Focus. I appreciate you.
Thank you so much for having me. I love having you, Lisa.
We move on to the Todd Albus Show on the Civic Media Spotlight. At the bottom of the hour, Jane hops in for another edition of Mondays with Matt Nair. Todd tackled tribalism in American politics. Both Republicans and Democrats are too hasty in circling the wagons rather than calling out problems on their own sides. Naturally, Todd and Jane poke at the sore spots. The Republicans don't want us to talk about how they caused the government shutdown, and Wisconsin Democrats won't acknowledge Dr. Jill Unnerly's apparent dereliction of duty in the Department of Public Instruction.
Two parties, multi-millions of dollars being spent. Who will survive, outwist, and outlast the political experiment in 250 years? Welcome back, everybody, to the Todd Albus Show on the Civic Media Ready Network. The unmistakable sound of the Survivor theme song on CBS. Welcome. One of my other favorite things in the world is Jane Matt Nair. You can hear her every morning along with Greg Bach on Matt Nair on air Monday through Friday, as it turns out, 9 until 11. She joins us from the greater Milwaukee area via StreamYard. Jane, how are you?
I am excellent. It is a beautiful October day in Wisconsin.
Boy. I know, right? It's really nice. It's one of my favorite times of the year. I was out in Richland Center this weekend, got to see Mom, saw our colleague, Phil Nee, because the name won't mean anything to you, but one of the long time, he was kind of Lou Regani. Of course, Lou works for WRJN in Racine, Kenosha, and Ray Schrader was his name, and he worked at WRCO for at least 50 years.
Wow.
And he had, on Saturday afternoons, it was called Reminiscing with Ray, big band music and the like. He passed away last year at 90-something, and so his lovely and talented wife, who, and I can say this because I worked with him for years, put up with him for years, and she and the family, he had this huge collection of vinyl, but also a few CDs, and they went to the local book record shop at Richland Center, and they brought a bunch of his albums, and they said, come on in, and if you want one of Ray's albums, put a dollar in for a donation, and they're going to put a bench in the park with his name on it as a memorial. And so we got to see his lovely wife, Harriet, and so Phil was there as well. But many of my stupid comments that I say on the air, I credit to Ray, because he would talk a lot of doublespeak. He'd say, it's colder in the winter than it is in the country. Do you walk to work or carry your lunch? that kind of vaudeville.
The oldies but goodies.
Right,
yes.
Right. Yes. You know, you probably remember, you used to have funeral homes, which I know you came from, your parents ran one. They would call into the radio station and give you the obituary. And you'd have to write all this out.
Oh, see, my father would do them live.
Really? On the air?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yep. He, like his own show, like Obituary Central.
It was Obituary Minute.
Oh, yeah. Well, Ray,
depending upon what was going on, yes.
I'd come into the station to do my shift at Saturday night or Sunday night or Saturday night, and Ray would be there, and he'd say, "How the heck is a guy supposed to do a record show when you got to take all these obituaries?" And I said, "I'm sorry." He goes, "Yeah." He goes, "I got the funeral home called in," but he goes, "Thank God it was a short one. The guy was only 5'5".
But I'm bummed.
So it was that kind of thing. Jeff Perry, our ongoing contributor listener, who is also an alum of WRCO, says, "I'm beginning to feel more like when I got here than I do now." Another great Ray-ism. So anyway, I was in Richland Center, and it was the point of the whole thing is that it's beautiful out there right now in Southwest Wisconsin.
It's gorgeous, and the colors have really got to be kicking in around Richland Center.
They are. They're almost kind of their peak. So
no kidding.
For those watching on the stream, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Twix, X, whatever you want to call it, I look ridiculous, more ridiculous than usual, because I have my Civic Media buff on in a headband form, a buff.
I am somewhat envious. I have not been privy to the buffs, as it were, and I'm kind of you're styling it. Even with headphones.
I look like a very old Ralph Macchio from Karate Kid. That's what I look like. A balding Ralph. Wax on, wax off. Oh, wait a minute. And by the way, if you're just tuning in, the whole point of this is that I get to talk to Jane, and I really don't care what anybody else thinks. It's just my chance to talk to Jane once a week. So Sunday, I told this story earlier, so I won't tell the whole thing. But Sunday, I wake up late. I slept and I wasn't feeling well. And at 9 o'clock, I hadn't turned anything on yet. I'm making coffee. And I'm like, oh, it's 9:05. I should see what Greg and Jane are. And there's nothing. It's like music. And then it's like something else. And so I put in the Civic Media All Chat. I don't know what's going on at the Civic Media app, but there's music playing instead of Jane and Greg. And about 3 minutes later, I realize it's Sunday.
It's Sunday.
So that's the kind of dedicated listener I am to Matt Naranera every morning from 9 until 11.
Well, that's lovely. I have relations who aren't that dedicated, I'm telling you.
I was very disturbed I couldn't hear you at 9 o'clock.
Don't you hate it, though, when you wake up and it's the wrong day?
Yes.
When I worked really early mornings, that would happen to me on weekends, and I would wake up at 4:30 in a panic.
Really? Yeah.
Because I was a half an hour late for work at
right.
that point.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, the age thing is fantastic, isn't it?
It is.
So here's the deal. I've got we played the Survivor music and I have my buff on. Because the whole point of the thing is I want to talk about tribalism. Because, you know, you have tribes in Survivor that work against. And now, Jane, as you well know, we have a political tribalism. And I thought, well, here, let's talk about a couple of things that both tribes don't want us to talk about. So first of all, on the Republican side, time once again for a beef update, Mr. Zomers.
A beef update?
An Argentinian beef update.
Oh, right.
Don't cry for me, Argentina. The truth is, I never left you.
Right. Argentinian. We really should have done a rehearsal. Anyway, yes, the Argentinian beef update. So, Jane, here you have Donald Trump on Air Force One flying somewhere around the world playing golf, meeting with people. And he decided to congratulate somebody over the weekend. Here's Trump on Air Force One. Talking about the Argentinian election.
I love that question because that was a big win in Argentina. I want to congratulate the victor, and he was a big victor, and he had a lot of help from us. He had a lot of help. I gave him an endorsement, a very strong endorsement, and it was really unexpected to have a victory of that. Some people thought it would be hard to win, and not only did he won by a lot. So,
all right, that's enough. The point is, here he is congratulating Argentinian president on a victory. He's putting $40 billion in to help their farmers. And last week, of course, Jane, he keeps suggesting that he's going to bring in Argentinian beef to flood the market to bring down beef prices. U.S. beef producers, not so happy, Jane.
Yeah, they're not so happy. Although, again, the leader of our country said just the other day that the cattlemen love him, just like the soybean farmers love him, and everyone loves him. And no, they're not happy. And there are so many problems with this. First of all, from what I understand, and I have not looked into this a lot, Argentina has a problem with hoof and mouth disease in their cattle. That is quite serious. Mm-hmm. That is not good. For another, from what I understand, cattle ranchers have finally been fighting their way back from really bad drought conditions they had a couple of years ago, in which it was far cheaper for them to send their cows to slaughter into the slaughterhouse than to continue to feed them because the droughts had been so bad. So they took a big hit then, and now they're finally gaining some ground. And then he goes and undercuts our own farmers, just like he has done to our soybean farmers.
And I know one of the things I love about you and Greg and Matt on air 9 to 11 Monday through Friday is that you bring on people from industries. You bring on farmers and ag people. We did that last Friday. Cool thing. David Umbihan, a former dairy and now cattle farmer in Richland County, joined us from his combine, which I thought was fantastic.
Oh, cool.
And to your point, Jane, he said, just like the farmers you bring on your show, that, you know, this is not popular. This is not how you help beef farmers. We're finally able to make a couple of bucks here. And also, by the way, the trade wars are not helping us. And oh, also, by the way, David said, my kids rely on the Affordable Care Act and Obamacare for our health care here in the ag industry.
We talked to Darren Van Ruden from the Wisconsin Farmers Union about this a couple of weeks ago, about how many farmers use the ACA, which, by the way, in case you're confused, is also Obamacare. They are the same thing. Mm. The same thing could probably be said about SNAP benefits and the number of people, especially in rural areas, that get SNAP benefits. A lot of folks who work for really struggling companies like Walmart have to use food stamps because they are paid so little.
Correct. And of course, we go to that rabbit hole that SNAP benefits are supposed to expire on Friday. And we finished the fiscal year in Wisconsin with a $4 billion plus surplus.
Again.
And when Republicans in the legislature ask, hey, do you think we can make up the difference here for a while? Probably not, as it turns out.
No, why would we do that? That's not our responsibility. And I'm sorry, I'm going to sidetrack a little bit here, but that goes back to the whole FEMA monies.
Yes.
So we were denied, Wisconsin was denied FEMA money for infrastructure repairs after the terrible August flooding. This is what he said on the campaign trail. They were going to send FEMA back to the states. The states have to start picking up more of the burden. It's their responsibility. We're only the federal government. It's not our responsibility. And we're seeing this now. He does seem to be, however, being a little bit selective about which states get all the aid and which ones don't.
Funny how that works out. You weren't sidetracking at all. You're reading my mind as you always do. We're talking to our friend Jane Matinair of Matinair on Air every morning from 9 until 11 across the Civic Media Radio Network. No, I got the story right in my hands as you said that from Channel 3000 last week. We talked about this when it broke. Trump administration has denied Wisconsin's application for public assistance for Door County, Grant County, Milwaukee, Ozaukee, Washington, and Waukesha County. So it wasn't just, as if that wasn't bad enough, it wasn't just the southeast portion of the state. I mean, you know, Grant County, not exactly a blue voting county over there in southwest Wisconsin.
No doubt about it. But I also think that there is a tinge of, well, I hate their governor.
Right, right. Yeah, exactly.
I do, because he's a petty man.
We're talking about tribalism here with Jane. So that's on the Republican. These are the stories that they don't want us to talk about on the Republican side, the denial of federal aid. And by the way, where's all this big, Republican strength in our congressional, Ron Johnson and Brian Stile and Tom Tiffany. I mean, he wants to be governor for goodness sake, and he can't even get his own president to give us a couple of bucks for FEMA relief.
I just saw a picture of Mr. Tiffany on Twitter, and he was slicing a big roast somewhere. So apparently whatever beef he's getting is going good because Tom, of course, is still getting paid.
Right, as it turns
out. Tom's getting paid. So, yeah. So that's all good in Tiff's world.
That's the Republican side. On the Democratic side, and I just want to publicly kudos to you and Greg Bach, and you had political editor Dan Schaefer with you last week, and you're calling this what it is, and this whole Jill Underly story, the result from the Capital Times. And to me, Jane, this is no longer even about the Capital Times story so much. It's about Jill Underly, the DPI superintendent, who refuses to talk to the press, refuses to be interviewed, refuses to sit before a state legislative committee on this. And when she was asked to do that, she takes a trip out to her alma mater, to Indiana University, to receive an outstanding alumnus award instead of doing her job.
Yeah, that doesn't look good. That's a major understatement. No, it's terrible. So you got to get out in front of this and address this. This is a big problem.
As Zomers plays the Jill Underly theme song of this program, All By Myself, because that's what she's all by herself. We'll come back, talk a little bit more about that and the passing of a broadcasting icon with Jay Matt Nair, Zomers, and myself. It's the Title Ball Show across Wisconsin.
The Todd Alba Show is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs across the network weekday afternoons from 2 until 4. To learn more about this show and all of the Civic Media programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
And last, but certainly not least on the Civic Media Spotlight Spooky Edition, we have the WXCO Report with Chad Holmes. Chad is joined by Cheryl Martino of NAMI Northwoods on mental health services provided at their Wausau office. Come check it out.
And good morning and welcome to the WXCO Morning Report, part of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on 98.9 WXCO. Online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. I am Chad Holmes, joined by Ian Welsh. Ian, good morning.
Good morning, Chad.
We will have more with you coming up in just a little bit, but first, we have a special guest in studio here this morning. Very happy to welcome Cheryl Martino from NAMI Northwoods here in Wausau. Cheryl, thank you for coming on by.
Thank you for having me, Chad.
Absolutely. And I think folks who've been tuned in have heard a lot of messages during our commercial breaks from NAMI Northwoods, learning a little bit about it. One other thing is, whenever I'm driving home, I'm going down Grand Avenue, I always notice it over there on the right-hand side. I'm heading towards Weston. But it's really nice to have you here. And thanks as well for a couple of weeks ago stopping on by during our open house as well.
Oh, you're welcome.
Well, let's first of all talk a little bit about NAMI Northwoods. I guess I'll ask you the biggest open question possible to start it off. What is NAMI Northwoods?
Well, NAMI Northwoods is the local affiliate of NAMI Wisconsin and NAMI National. There's more than 650 local affiliates throughout our 50 states of NAMI National. And we held our first annual membership meeting in May of 2017. And and here we are.
That's not very long, actually. No. It's a fairly new organization, and I guess, you know, what it is. What is the biggest focus? I think a lot of people, again, I really have enjoyed hearing the commercials because I think a lot of people, when you see NAMI, it doesn't jump out what exactly it is. Yeah. But I've started to learn a little bit more about it. For folks who say, hey, you work at NAMI Northwoods, what do you do? What is the purpose of it?
So we advocate at the local and state level for mental health resources, changes in legislation to improve mental health resources and laws that can improve the lives of people with mental health illnesses. We also sponsor Raise Your Voice clubs at the high schools and middle schools in Marathon, Lincoln, and Langley counties. And our main focus is also to provide educational classes and support groups for families and individuals who are dealing with mental illnesses.
What is your role at NAMI Northwoods?
I am the part-time office specialist, and I also am an education facilitator for some of our classes.
Let's delve in a little bit deeper, because the whole idea of mental illness. And I said this to you off the air, that somehow in this era, for whatever reason, there is a sense that somehow, whether it's through a loss of a job or a loss of health care or a loss or some sort of other issue in one's life, that somehow if you just work a little bit harder or dig yourself up or grab yourself by the bootstraps, you can make it work. Mental disease, mental illness, and the words, disease and illness, it's not a case where you can just will it away, is it?
No, it is. All mental illnesses are a biological illness, no different than a cardiovascular disease or diabetes. It is a, they are brain diseases, brain disorders that have to be treated, or they will not get better. They and some of them can get better, and sometimes people can eventually go off medications for them. But more serious mental illnesses like schizophrenia, bipolar disorder. And some others, those are generally considered lifelong illnesses that have to be managed with medication and assistance from other resources and psychotherapy.
I was looking at your website, and for folks who want to go to your website, it is NAMINorthwoods.org. That's N-A-M-I, Northwoods.org. And there was a line right at the very beginning that kind of jumped out to me. It said, mental illness can affect persons of any age and occur in any family. They are not caused by bad parenting and are not evidence of a weakness of character. I think that was very straightforward. That I imagine that sometimes it's hard for people to ask for help. That they'll look in the mirror and they'll feel like, well, there's something else I can do.
Yeah.
No, that's not the case, is it?
No, I mean, you know, it just depends on you know, the person's situation. Sometimes, you know, depressive episodes and anxiety are short term and the person can manage and on their own, but oftentimes not. And symptoms get worse.
Let me jump in real quickly because I just popped into my mind when you talk about different circumstances. How do you know what level you are? Because I think you kind of hit on the head that I think all of us have moments where, you know, you're either up or you're a bit down. That's different than true disease and illness in this case, isn't it?
Yeah. It's my understanding that, you know, if your symptoms are lasting longer than 2 weeks, especially in depression and anxiety, and things are not getting better, that's a time when you would definitely want to go in and seek some help with that, with your primary care provider first, and see what their recommendation is.
Let's talk about some of the ways that your office helps, because if somebody was to stop in and say, what are the services that you and your teammates offer here in Wausau? What are some of the services that NAMI Northwoods here in Wausau do offer?
So in our office, we offer three support groups. We offer a peer support group, and that is a support group for anyone that is living with any type of mental illness to join. All of the services we provide, I should mention, are free. We don't charge anything. Mm. And we have a family support group that is for family members who are dealing with a loved one with a mental illness, and we have a Survivors of Suicide Loss Support Group. And as the title refers, that is for individuals who have lost, sadly, a loved one or a friend to suicide.
We will have more with Cheryl Martino of NAMI Northwoods here in Wausau coming up at 7:22. More of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow coming up next on 98.9 WXCO.
The Chad Holmes Show is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs on WXCO weekday mornings from 8 until 10. To learn more about this show and all of the Civic Media programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.